We're going to do it together. We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating. They're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Ann Vandersteel.
Good evening and welcome to Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. 30 minutes of hard-hitting headline news, all signal and zero noise, brought to you by Satellite Phone Store. Go to sat123.com. And please, by all means, get your sat phones because you're going to want secure, encrypted communications as we roll into, that's right, the storm that has arrived. And again, last night we saw President Trump arraigned. Will his case be dismissed? I know his attorneys are working diligently on that. He went home to Mar-a-Lago. We're going to be talking also with Floyd Brown. He is the founder of Western Journal, and he has a brand new book out. We're going to dive into all things Trump and how this whole psyop is going down. And I'll round out with a conclusion to my second part of an interview with George Webb, an investigative journalist. We're going to be diving into Dr. Malone and his targeting of certain medical professionals. All that and much more right here on Brighty on TV. Don't change the dial. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrightyOnStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrightyOnStore.com today.
And while taking the left media, the hacks over there, folks, we just got to take a second and pause on this. Those left media hacks yesterday took aim at President Donald Trump, who by their account has come under fire for attacking the daughter of a judge who is now overseeing this criminal, ridiculous case in this Manhattan kangaroo courtroom. While all that's happening, oddly enough, Rasmussen is now reporting and showing that Biden is getting crushed by President Trump in his latest polling for the 2020 election. So let's just go here with this, right? If President Joe Biden, the resident who is squatting as the Chinese ambassador in the White House, seeks a second term in 2024 to continue fleecing and destroying this country, he will now face an uphill battle for re-election against either of the two leading Republican candidates. The latest Rasmussen reports has a national telephone and online survey that finds that if the 2024 presidential election were between Biden and President Donald Trump, 47% of likely U.S. voters would vote for Trump, while only 40% would vote for Biden. I still question who those 40% were. I mean, I really do. And another 11% say they would vote for some other candidate. So again, this is quite startling, and I believe they have duly elected or re-elected President Donald Trump with their shenanigans. Taking a look at that Rasmussen tweet that they put out says it all. Well, again, yesterday, President Trump returned to Mar-a-Lago and was greeted by a crowd of supporters whose admiration helped him raise $10 million since his indictment.
USA! 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 Thank you very much, everybody. And we have to save our country. God bless you all. God bless you all. And I never thought anything like this could happen in America. Never thought it could happen. The only crime that I have committed is to fearlessly defend our nation from those who seek to destroy it. From the beginning, the Democrats spied on my campaign. Remember that? They attacked me with an onslaught of fraudulent investigations. Russia, Russia, Russia. Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Impeachment hoax number one. Impeachment hoax number two. The illegal and unconstitutional raid on Mar-a-Lago right here.
And of course, the political persecution is at the center as evidence is mounting as the New York DA Alvin Bragg's staff leave wildly anti-Trump leftist social media and, of course, their job. They left it all. Evidence of the long asserted political persecution of former President Donald Trump is mounting as the cyber sleuths and Team Trump itself begin to release information linking New York District Attorney staff to the far left social media activism, as well as real world consulting work with top Democrats. Links have been established between progressive billionaire George Soros and the District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who received up to $1 million in Soros funding in the run up to his election. Other DA's office staff have also been deleting their social media profiles in a response to the reporting over their far-left links. This tweet by the Wuhan clan concerns Jordan Stockdale, Alvin Bragg's own chief of staff, the senior-most position in the office, second only to the DA himself. This account has a history of liking posts calling for Donald Trump to be impeached and banned from running for office. The behavior stands out because Bragg and his team have insisted the investigation was conducted in a, quotes, impartial manner. Can you get over this? The handle was also tagged numerous times as Stockdale over a period of years and is identical to the handle of an Instagram account, also now deleted, which appears to have been his. Well, joining me now, Floyd Brown, the author of Counterpunch and a founder of The Western Journal, is here now to talk about his new book and how President Trump and the glove on the fist of the America First folks. Floyd, it's great to have you here. Thanks for making it on. First time here right now with me. Good to see you.
Well, it's great to be with you, Ann. And yesterday I thought President Trump did a fabulous job. I think that if there was any question that he'll be elected the 47th president of the United States had been in people's minds, the question is no longer in my mind, because the left is being exposed. The level of illegal activity and the way they have weaponized the judicial system is beyond the pale. As President Trump articulated, I never thought I would see this in America. And I think that there were hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans saying right along with him, I can't believe this ever would happen in America. It's truly a sad day.
It is a sad day, but it is a day where I believe people's had the scales removed off of their eyes, and America First patriots, people who've been diehard supporters of President Trump, are ready to put the gloves on and counterpunch.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the list that he talked about, you know, where he starts with they spied on my campaign and the Russia hoax and on and on, I could probably add as many items to that list as he articulated, and one of them I'd put right at the top is the attacks on General Flynn. General Flynn, who was going to be his national security advisor, an American hero. I call him America's general. I know a lot of people do. He was a real patriot, but the FBI entrapped him and then tried to manipulate him into pleading guilty to charges to protect his son. And it was an earlier example of this weaponization that now they're using against President Trump. And they have only escalated and been emboldened. And President Trump's absolutely right. If they can do this to him, they can do it to you, Ann. They can do it to me. They can do it to everyone that's listening. They know our politics based on our social media history, our emails, which they read, our phone calls, which they listen into. So they know where we stand. And literally, these people are functioning Marxists, and Marxists don't mind eliminating the people that they have opposition to.
You're 100% right, Floyd. So in your book, Counterpunch, how do you propose the Americans, people that were are America first, and those that are waking up to the fact that the entire political system is a sham and our government has been hijacked by corporate privateers who have been putting profits over people for some time now. Basically, they've bastardized the term of capitalism, and it's about corporatism, and it's usurping our constitutional freedom. How does Counterpunch guide people to take that step?
It sounds like you could have written Counterpunch, because what I do is I go through the different false narratives that we've had to live under. You know, the truth is, I believe that history is written several different ways. It's written daily. That's what we do at Western Journal. We deal with the daily news, and we're in essence transcribing history as it happens. The second way it's written is people kind of step back from that daily reporting and they digest what happened in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. That's what I try to do in Counterpunch, where I work through all of the narratives that we've had to deal with. And then, you know, of course, it's written later by the academics. That's when they get it all wrong. But I felt like we needed to digest what's been happening to us. We are in the midst of a color revolution. In fact, I believe there was a coup. The coup happened on January 6th. They claim that President Trump tried to, you know, launch an insurrection. That's a false narrative. And in fact, they themselves engaged in a coup. And as we now know, they didn't have a quorum when they made Joe Biden president in the Senate and the House. So there's, you know, serious questions that need to be answered. I try to do that, but getting back to your question is, what can people do? I really encourage local action.
Yeah.
These false narratives are intended to do one thing, to make you feel powerless. They want us to feel powerless against them so that we're frozen, that we're fearful, and we won't do anything. So what we can do is occupy right where we're at. That means we shouldn't be hiding in our houses like they want us to do in their lockdowns. We need to be out with our neighbors. We need to be, you know, having coffee with them, talking to them, communicating with them, telling them about what we think and find out what they think, and then get involved at the local level, whether it's the school board, the town council, you know, local sheriff's races. We need to be occupying right where we're at. And that's how we change America. Let's protect our communities first, and then let's retake the country town by town, city by city, county by county. And then we'll worry about states and Washington, D.C.
I'm completely in agreement with you. And unfortunately, we're being challenged by a lot of forces all around the world. One of them being, of course, is the financial pressure we find ourselves under right now, because, of course, we've been hijacked by a corporation called the Federal Reserve. And I'm just curious, Floyd, have you heard about the emergence of a massive Chinese global trade and security zone? And, of course, you couple that with the rise of the renminbi and the yuan against the U.S. dollar. There's apparently a new emerging trade bloc that would actually include the BRICS, the Eurasian Economic Union, the Shanghai Cooperation Council, and what we call the old STANs, the Commonwealth of Independent States. This is an emergence of a new world economic order, and it's a move to a multipolar global system. Of course, this leaves the dollar in the cold. How can Americans counterpunch this? What do we do?
Well, I talk a lot about the financialization of our assets that's happened over the last 40 years and how they've systematically stolen from the American middle class, and that money has been put in the pockets of billionaires. COVID alone minted 40 brand new billionaires, and this was because they were actively suppressing, using the power of government, therapeutics, which we know worked. And so the truth is that they've been stealing from us a long, long time. You know, what can you do to protect yourself? I always encourage people, if you have the resources to do it, get yourself the only asset that has no counterparty risk. And that only asset that has no counterparty risk is physical gold and silver.
Because that's right.
when you hold a silver dollar, there's no other counterparty. But every other asset you own, you have a counterparty to that. If you own a stock, the counterparty is the company, but it's also the brokerage account that it's in.
Right.
So you've got two different counterparties you're dealing with and the exchange that you might want to trade it on. So if you want to lower your risk, gold and silver is really the only way to do it. And I encourage people to hold a certain amount of assets in that gold and silver so they can protect themselves.
Floyd, I'm going to let you leave that as the last word. Folks can pick up Counterpunch anywhere great books are sold, from Amazon, Goodreads, I'm sure, and you've got it out on the Western Journal's website as well. So, Floyd Brown, thank you so much. Founder of Western Journal, author of Counterpunch. Appreciate your time. All right, folks, we'll be going to commercial break, and you've got George Webb on deck for part two of our exclusive interview right here, right now.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer? Is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
And welcome back to part two of my conversation here with the intrepid George Webb. George, yesterday we were talking about James O'Keefe and the fact that he has bounced back significantly on all of this. But tonight I want to focus a little bit more in on this COVID story, because without COVID, none of their scams would be working right now in terms of this great reset and, of course, just complete derailment of the U.S. economy so that they can usher in the new world order. But there's been some consternation with Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine. And I've always wondered myself, not knowing the guy, why he's not working diligently on a reversal of this mRNA technology, which is essentially changing your DNA. And it's a question that's been posed in court, whether or not you're even still one of God's creatures, essentially, because your DNA has been changed. But do you ever wonder why he isn't working on going into a lab to fix what he created?
Well, you know, he has a product out there called Inovio, which is a variation of mRNA. It's just encapsulated in a DNA plasmid. So he sort of has still a horse in the battle. So I think maybe he doesn't want to undermine his own horse, if you will. The one I worry about more is not the vaccine side, but more the therapeutics. And you've done so much work on this, Anne. It's just you've done work in both areas. But this remdesivir, and how did remdesivir get resurrected from the Ebola drug that we talked about last night?
Right.
And how do we knock down HCQ, hydroxychloroquine? How do we knock down ivermectin, IVM? How did those two things get knocked down to let remdesivir in the door? And that's really the fundamental reason I have questions for Bob Malone, because he's the key guy in charge of repurposing those drugs.
Okay, so if Dr. Malone were to be sitting in on this call with us right now, George, how would you address this with him?
Well, my first question would be, how did remdesivir get to be the standard of care?
Did Dr. Malone have something to do with the development of remdesivir? I thought that was coming out of, what is that company in?
Gilead,
thank you. I was saying Boston, Gilead, yeah.
Gilead used to be where I was in Foster City, but that's not my question. It's really the process. The process from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency was through a program called DOMAIN, which is discovery of measures against new entity viruses. That's what it stood for.
Right.
And that program was the program to look at repurposing existing drugs before you get the emergency authorization, before you get mRNA emergency authorization. And that's the program where Bob Malone was in charge of. He's the guy at Allkem, the chief medical officer, that actually let out the study to Northwell in New York for this study run by Columbia University. So that's a really important part of American history, because Rick Bright, you know, from BARDA, the entity of excitement guy,
right,
he goes ahead and orders 4 months supply of remdesivir at the end of January, right, before this trial of DOMAIN that Bob Malone's running. So maybe Bob Malone's not on the hook for remdesivir. Maybe it's Rick Bright's problem. But what, we never really evaluate hydroxychloroquine. We never evaluate ivermectin.
And isn't that, first of all, there's a couple things wrong with that. Number one, that DOMAIN trial happened after the WHO NIH trial in 2018 and 19. And the WHO said, this is a lethal drug, we'll never use it. So you have two drugs, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which are on the essential drug list for the world, as Dr. Zelenko called it, homicide organization. The WHO, God rest his soul, Zeb was hilarious, but you had two drugs that were effective. In fact, the NIH tested HCQ in 2005. They knew it was effective against coronavirus. So that was a lie as well. Now, there is a little known law on the books, George, that said if you have drugs that are proven safe and effective, you don't need to put another EUA or an emergency use authorization on another drug that we already knew wasn't safe nor effective, frankly, from the Ebola trial. So is Fauci on the hook for complete lawlessness, breaking the law, crimes against humanity on this one? Because he also was part of making sure this got pushed through.
Yeah, well, Fauci certainly is the person who gave it the approval that it needed for the FDA. And he's the one who leaked it the day before it became, got its EUA in April. So there's certainly blame enough to go around everyone. If you ask me what I would ask Bob Malone, and I would say, did you evaluate hydroxychloroquine? It was supposed to be originally in the Northwell study. And there was, and Malone came out and described this, and there was a review board, which this gentleman named Conigliaro in New York was pushing back, saying, I want famotidine. Bob Malone had found positive things with Pepcid AC famotidine. And he said, well, we want hydroxychloroquine given alongside it, or another trial, a side-by-side trial with hydroxychloroquine. And Malone, according to his paper, is the one who got into an argument with the review board over this. It was a bone of contention. And he left, apparently, according to Bob Malone's story, he leaves the trial. And he says this probably will never get done. Well, that's not how you do it. If you can't pitch in the baseball game and they make you the catcher, you don't throw your, take your ball and go home.
Right.
You sit there and you play ball. So those are the questions that I would have for Bob Malone.
Very interesting. It almost makes you wonder, was there a financial incentive to the parties in the DOMAIN trial to make sure that remdesivir got through even after the NIH WHO trial in 2018 and 19, where more than half the people died. So to me, it's all very, very shady that this is actually going on. And there's got to be some major explanations, particularly today, now that you have hospitals that are not testing. For instance, Sarasota Memorial has decided to stop testing everybody walking in the door, whether they were asymptomatic or not, on the PCR test for COVID. They're only testing symptomatic people. So what do you think is going to happen to hospitals that when they make that switch, you're going to see the death rate go up, because now you're not going to have healthy people on remdesivir. You're going to have really sick people on this remdesivir protocol if they're still using it, like here in Florida, because Governor DeSantis is still allowing hospitals to have indemnity protection from the deployment of CDC protocol treatments like remdesivir. So, i.e., patient dies, hospital can't get sued because of this legislation that Ron DeSantis has signed. So I think that these numbers are going to change drastically for their patient outcomes now that they're not, you know, getting a bunch of false positives where people really aren't sick and survive. You're only going to have really sick people. And now we're going to see what the truth is with remdesivir. And I think those numbers are going to be startling.
Yeah. On that trip where I met you in Venice and Dr. Jane Ruby in Venice, I had interviewed a 30-year executive for a hospital system in Southern Florida in the Naples area. And she had said, well, they had the big hammer over us because they could cut our Medicaid and Medicare. And we basically close our doors if they do that. So there's the big hammer from the American Hospital Association. There's the big hammer from the FDA. And unbelievably, going back to what we said about Jordan Walker and James O'Keefe, it's Jordan Walker writing a paper for the Boston Consulting Group that resurrects remdesivir. You just can't believe that it's true. And then his boss is the person who writes two Lightspeed papers at Pfizer as a consultant for McKinsey, the people who do Operation Warp Speed, that put in mRNA for vaccines and therapeutics. And her co-author is the number two guy on James O'Keefe's org chart, which is Mikhail Dolsten, who is the chief science officer. So this is where I say it was a grand slam home run. That org chart, and all I did was Google the names along with the word coronavirus, and bang, 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 all these white papers come out. So hopefully people will maybe Google it when we're done here and see just what kind of home run grand slam that James had.
This is absolutely incredible when you think about how well all of this was organized and from all the different groups. Again, the corporation, nobody's liable because everybody gets a pass when you have a corporate liability shield. You're just working for the corporation, and it's hard to hold these people accountable. It's just shocking to me that we're sitting here, even today, we have all this election interference evidence, we have all this evidence of mass murder by COVID, and the government's complicitness in all of this, not only here, but everywhere around the world. And I have to say, I give a hat tip to the UK National Health Services, NHS over there. They're actually reporting the real numbers, and it's horrific how many people are dying from the genocide of the shots and, of course, the treatment protocols. All right, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left here. I want to go back in time in the time machine with you, George, because when I first started following you, you were all over doing these updates every single day, point one, point two, point three, on Hillary, on the email server, on all the stuff. So we haven't heard much from Hillary Clinton lately. God forbid she runs for president. What's the status from where your vantage point is on what's going on with, you know, the crimes Hillary's committed, as of course President Trump is being indicted?
Well, you won't believe this, but it's back to James O'Keefe again and his incredible org chart and the whole story unfolds. I don't know if James O'Keefe is trying to leave a smart bomb here for us all to find before the election when you start Googling this. But one of the key people that are sponsoring Jordan Walker inside of Pfizer was a lawyer for Hillary Clinton for 25 years, going all the way back to when she was the West Wing with Bill Clinton and as first lady. And then somehow she hangs around the White House and all the administrations, like the Trump administration, as sort of a spy. She's married to a Pfizer executive with the 10 years at Pfizer. And he's a partner at Boston Consulting Group. So it looks like this was a bomb, maybe, by Hillary, potentially placed through her attorney with Jordan Walker to write this white paper. It's not Jordan Walker because he only has a couple of years and nothing really in his background in pharmacology and doesn't really finish his internship. But somebody who was in the know gave him that missile, basically, to resurrect remdesivir. And it may be Hillary Clinton and her lawyer, Melissa Prober.
Can you imagine if that turns out to be the case? I mean, honestly, this woman is diabolical. Nothing would surprise me anymore, George, but that is an angle I hadn't even considered. That's incredible.
Well, let me give you a little more information. My old partner, who's now passed away, task force, used to say, go to the scene of the crime and then just start working yourself out in 100-yard or 100-meter circles.
Right.
When I got to the third circle, I found Melissa Prober. They're the ones who actually redid the pizza shop there where James O'Keefe under the Brooklyn Bridge and and under the Manhattan Bridge is called Dumbo Area. They're the key people that did the renovation. They also renovated the theater where Jordan Walker, as he's trying to make it on Broadway as a dancer, and you saw him move like a Nureyev inside that pizza shop. So I think he's going to make it. They're the ones who renovated that the old Tobacco Warehouse Theater there. So I think there's a smoking gun here to this resurrecting remdesivir right straight to Hillary Clinton.
Incredible. It all leads back to the Hildebeest. You just can't make this stuff up.
Deplorables? Anyone? Deplorables? You know, I think remdesivir is for deplorables.
It's for deplorables. Wow. Incredible. Well, George Webb, as always, you've outdone yourself. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Your work is just impeccable, and it's unmatched out there, maybe except by James O'Keefe. So, but that's okay. That's okay.
That's okay.
He's just absolutely solid out there. We love what
and
he's doing.
Your work, man. You do some great stuff.
Listen, I get to do more on the reporting side now than the investigating. Every now and then I get to spend some time, but I'm all over the place, so it's hard to zero in on, but your work is phenomenal. George Webb, thank you so much for your time again this evening, and stay close because you're always one heartbeat away from just breaking the next big thing. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, Ann.